Can you all remember coming to the end of an incredible journey? Could be travel or school or work. That feeling of nostalgia and fullness and wanting to squeeze in every possible experience and conversation. Wishing that you could put it all into a bag, the knowledge, the insight, and love acquired during your trip. I want to share with you today my deep feelings of joy mixed with sadness as I finish my 2-year ministerial internship at Star King. To begin with, I want to set the stage with a little joke. So, an angel appears at a meeting of religious leaders and tells their leader that in return for his unselfish and exemplary behavior, God will reward him with his choice of infinite wealth, infinite wisdom, or infinite beauty. Without hesitating, the leader selects infinite wisdom. "Done," says the angel, and disappears in a whiff of cloud of smoke and lightning. Now, all heads turn toward the leader, who sits surrounded by a faint halo of light, and one of them whispers to him, "Say something." The leader sighs and says, "I should have taken the money." Well, I could condense some of my learning at Star King Church into 2 words, love and wisdom. On one level, love and wisdom represent the twin pillars of Unitarian Universalism. Wisdom being more closely allied with Unitarianism, particularly if you look at the transcendentalists of the 19th century, like Emerson, Thoreau, and Theodore Parker. On the other hand, the deep, heartfelt love of the universe, of the universalist, characterizes their pious feelings, who bravely propose that a loving God would never send anyone to hell. So I will touch first on wisdom, and in my attempt to discover the roots of wisdom, I saw that we can turn to the wonderful literature of the ancient Near East, Egypt, Mesopotamia, and Israel. It's said that wisdom texts teach a cosmopolitan skill set, how to lead the good life in community. The scribes of the ancient Near East were a class unto themselves and were international in perspective. In the Hebrew Bible, wisdom books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes almost never mention the God of Israel or the covenants with his people. They focused on individual experience, and this is pretty unique. I mean, we're talking 2,500 years ago, focusing on individual experience in everyday life and transmitting that experience, that knowledge, to the next generation. We see common themes like being calm to anger, not being judgmental, seeing the cycles of joy and sorrow that permeate life, and most particularly, taking care of the widow, orphan, and poor. These themes were often lifted up in wisdom texts. Reminds you almost of contemporary Buddhism in the way we've developed engaged Buddhism. And it harkens back for many millennia. Now, from Bill's reading, we can see that wisdom in the Bible is personified as a woman. Lady Wisdom is often her epithet, who does the work of leading and organizing creation. As Bill said, she's a reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God. In every generation, she passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. For God loves nothing so much as a person who lives with wisdom. Even more poetically, if you go to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, wisdom is one of the most striking characters in the scriptures. She's nothing short of electric. She cries to be seen, to be heard, to be understood at every crossroad. She stands in front of every door imploring us to listen. It is though that every transition or crossroad of our lives, she teaches us discernment. In the beginning, she was with God, counseling him during his most creative act, namely creation itself, rejoicing with him and rejoicing with us in the beauty of the earth. She goes by the name in Greek, Sophia, and she performs all the practical teachings for humanity. Here at Starking Church, Sophia always seemed to be present during my 2-year internship. I received so much practical wisdom from you, reminded of the building your own theology class. Here there are many, many participants, where I learned about the rich and incredible diversity of theological ideas that are present right here in this church. And when our group did worship last spring, all this diversity folded into a harmonious kind of multimedia liturgy with, you know, art on the walls. We had a Eucharist, you know, a communion service from a recipe that was passed down from grandmothers. Again, last fall, I led a workshop on nature-based spirituality. That was really delightful because I discovered that whether you're a theist or humanist, a Wiccan or a Buddhist, you know, you can all come together and witness the beauty and depth of each other's beliefs through the lens of nature. Now, another group, Skit, now this is, I approach with a little trepidation because my beloved Katie is the one who encouraged me to learn a little more about performance up here, as you know, when I preach. And she said, "Roy, I think you should go to Skit." I dreaded that. I did not, you know, I like having, as you see, my written material. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience over the last 2 years. It imparted to me so much wise practice about becoming more spontaneous and less rehearsed. But Skit itself was much more than just an improv group. You know, we gelled and listened to each other and read each other during the exercises. You just, you know, pick up on the cues and then follow them with a response. You know, it's a way of growing more intuitive and empathic together. From my experience here with you, I learned that wisdom is not frozen knowledge. It is not academic knowledge. Wisdom is a spiritual practice and a feeling that's congealed into community. And if the historical Unitarianism stressed an intellectual and unifying approach to wisdom, then the new Unitarianism should emulate our ancient scribes and offer us a cosmopolitan and interfaith sharing of the many colored wise traditions our parishioners bring to our congregations. The other pole of this duality between wisdom and love is of course, love. And that beautifully poetic and lyrical rendering that Jennifer sang of Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now, the refrain shouts out about the complexity of love. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow, it's love's illusions that I recall. I really don't know love at all. Our universalist ancestors also shouted out about God's love and how we can emulate this universal love every day with everyone. Again, I've seen so much of the work here at Star King Church being infused with love. From the open frankness of pastoral care, the warmth and generous and extraordinary efforts of my internship committee, our external love justice toward the world in the MLK, Martin Luther King March and Rally, and most notably with the Anti-Racism Committee and Beloved Conversations Group. Being in Beloved Conversations was the epitome of Joni Mitchell's symbolic lyrics. Clouds and life and love are murky, and nowhere murkier than a deep conversation about race in America. During our group sessions, we ran the gamut of connection and fears of separation, telling our stories in a peaceful and non-judgmental fashion, both about our stereotype views of others and our feelings of resentment and anger at being the recipients of those stereotype views was cleansing and cathartic. Over the past few months, we overcame these barriers and curved the arc of universalist love toward acceptance and reconciliation. We finally saw the beauty and divinity in each other, despite having widely divergent backgrounds. Beloved Conversations, for me, has been the culmination of my growth into universalism. We've talked about wisdom and love being complementary in our UU religion, but maybe they're not really so different. Just maybe they're like two intertwined vines, or love is like light and energy, and wisdom is light condensed into structures and relationships. But one thing I've learned in my amazing voyage at Star King is the answer to the question that drove me to seminary. Years ago, you know, after practicing the wisdom of, say, an hour of meditation or yoga, I kept being haunted by what sustains you for the next 23 hours. You can do yoga, you can meditate, you can calm yourself, but what happens when you open your eyes? I found my answer here, and the answer is love and holding love continually in your heart. Wisdom permeated by love and loving wisely. Amen, blessed be. Shalom, salam, and shanti.